Welcome to episode 469 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about consumer entertainment technology, and we missed a week. But, you know, yeah. Thanksgiving and stuff like that. It was post-Thanksgiving.
No, it was more that I had no internet in my house for 2 days. It was awful.
And absolutely, it's more that awful. I had no voice last week.
And there was no news, unless you just wanted us to report on all of the Black Friday deals and Cyber Monday deals that you would have missed out on by multiple days at that point.
No, because, by the way, I am so sick of all the websites that that's all they're doing.
Yes. I'm down with relevant deals. You know, give me some relevant deals. And if we see some other really cool relevant deals pop up, we might share them with you all. But yeah, it gets a little overboard.
And we do that. So, like, we put blatant affiliate links out on our feed on Twitter and stuff like that. But seriously, I swear, like, when I go to, I don't know, Boy Genius Report or The Verge or any of the things that I expect to go to for news, it's all about, here are the deals that Amazon has.
Yes. Yeah, on robot vacuum cleaners and Tide Pods. Like, I don't need deals on that. Thanks.
I still don't want a robot vacuum. No. Okay.
That's because you have a dog. Bad idea. All right, we should probably get started with the show here. We've got a couple pieces of listener feedback. This first one is from Rod. These both came into our inbox, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. Rod says, "Hey guys, I thought I would give you an update on our media situation at the lake house where our internet is provided as a DSL connection." Ugh. I think that's his ugh, but I sympathetically agree with his ugh. He says, "As you may remember, we only get one channel at the lake house." He means like over the air. "And as a cord cutter, I was hoping to somehow get the other three over the air channels that we record at home with the TiVo. Here's the update. We haven't received the promised fiber connection at the lake, so we settled for the one over-the-air channel, NBC. That's all you need. There's only one good show on TV right now.
Oh,
right,
stop it.
We added two Roku devices, which I have connected with a network wire rather than Wi-Fi. We've been able to stream media to the Roku devices fine, so there's at least more to choose from. This is all actually sounding pretty good." He then says, "I can't use ABC, CBS, and Fox apps up there because I don't have a cable subscription to authenticate with. Oh. It seems like I should be able to get basic channels with an antenna when an antenna signal is not available. Do you have any suggestions?" No. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, this is weird, Rod, but your local channels that you can get over the air for free, you can't stream for free. It doesn't work that way. So gonna interrupt there with that answer. There, unless Richard has another suggestion, there typically isn't a way to get those for free. You can blame local carriers for that. That's what that comes down to.
Well, it's funny though, because as I'm thinking about this, I can't think of the name of it now, and I'm really frustrated that I can't think of the name of it, but this is the problem that online antenna-based TV service tried to solve.
Right. I'm blanking on the name of it, too.
Right. And ultimately, TiVo ended up buying their IP, but this is the problem. If you're out in the middle of nowhere and you can't get a decent antenna signal, what are you to do?
Right. Exactly. So he says, "The day before our last vacation, I received our Fire TV recast, which I'm hoping to be the answer to my problems. Hopefully, I'll be able to record our shows at home and then stream them at the lake. I recorded a few programs before I left and tested it at the lake on my phone. Next, I will add a Fire TV up there to see how that works. Keep sharing your experiences. I'm always happy for your advice. Thanks again. Rod, thank you for the update. We love getting updates like this from our listeners. It sounds like if your Rokus are working for streaming stuff over the internet, I think you're probably going to be fine. I think your Fire TV recast solution is probably going to work. If your internet's good enough to stream various things from Roku, it seems like this ought to work, assuming that your home internet is fine, but you tested that by streaming on your phone. So this seems like the solution for Rod, right?
Yeah, and I love the fact that this is using the recast to do this, because one of the things I think that you and I really pondered was, what's the right use case for the recast, right? Like, why would you use that versus something else? And the fact that it's basically accessible through the cloud, as I understand it, if I get this right, is brilliant, right? That lets you get it from anywhere.
Right, exactly. I mean, another solution for you, Rod, would be to use Plex, because Plex allows you to do this too. But you've already got a Fire TV recast, so just do that.
Yeah, and if I remember right, and I know it's been a long history of progression as you've been working on different solutions, I think you considered Plex as one of your possible solutions here, Rod. But this seems like it's good for you, so I would go with that. Believe me, I get the frustration of not getting the signal strong enough, because I'm in an area where I can get both Baltimore's and DC's ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and CW on cable, but not so well over the antenna.
Mm.
So that's one of the reasons why that over the internet antenna service was so useful to me.
Right. Right.
All right. Well, our next message is from Roger, and this is a follow-up. You may remember that Roger had gotten in touch with us. Roger's a longtime contributor and correspondent with Entertainment 2.0. And one of his latest issues with his home entertainment PC was that he was having problems rebooting it. It was doing weird stuff, and it was trying to use a device that he didn't want to use. And we suggested that, and actually, I don't think it was us. I think it was a listener suggested that he should probably go into his BIOS and go and see if he can turn off the external port during the reboot process, because the problem that he was having is it was rebooting to a USB port. So he did that, and it's working now.
Yay.
So that's awesome. However, he still doesn't understand why there are no tuners available, but he says at least the box can be rebooted, and his wife can do that without having to get behind the TV and mess with the cables and everything else. So this is good news. Even if it is kind of a really kludgy solution.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at least Media Center is easy enough for pretty much anybody to reboot the machine. And as long as you've got your Windows box set up to launch Media Center on boot and not have to deal with Windows login, then it's a pretty simple solution. It's just annoying.
It is, I would agree, it is annoying. But thanks for following up with us on that. We're glad to hear that it's working out well enough for you, even if it is not even if it is rebooting to solve your problem. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into our topics. We don't have a feature tonight, but arguably maybe this first story could have been our feature.
I would like to point out something really odd about tonight's news.
Okay.
We don't have any video news.
No, ton of audio news.
Ton of audio news. Like, we never have this much audio news, but it's basically all audio news and a little tiny bit of gaming stuff. That's it.
Well, all right. I'll be the judge on a little tiny bit. But all right, let's talk audio. So our first audio story is about Plex. And Plex has created a partnership with Tidal where you can now integrate Tidal Music Service into your music library. And when Josh and I first looked at this, we're like, wait, what? I don't understand. How does this work?
Right.
And as best I can understand it, it works pretty similarly. And coincidentally enough, we're going to talk about this a little bit later. It works pretty similarly to the way that old world Spotify worked, where if you had the Spotify app on your desktop and it tied to your library, you could also then leverage all of the information it knew about your library with all of the content that it had available online. And that's basically what Plex is doing with Tidal. They've made Tidal a premier partner in their music library. So now, in addition to your own content, or maybe instead of your own content, maybe you don't have your music library hooked up to Plex, but you could hook in Tidal if you want some online service. And here's the beauty of that. You can do that without having to have any sort of server set up, right? So you could actually run Plex and use Plex on your devices and have Plex music, and you don't have a Plex server anywhere.
And what would be the benefit of that?
The benefit, well, so there are other, it's basically consolidating your media into Plex. And let's face it, you know, we've talked with Plex numerous times. And despite, I don't know about you, Josh, but certainly despite my beliefs in how this whole ecosystem should work, they want to be the hub for where you go for your media. I don't think they should be the hub. I think the devices should be the hubs. I think the Apple TV should be the hub, or the Xbox should be the hub, or whatever else. But they want to be the hub for all your content. So,
but
you
for
can,
them to be the hub of all of your content, then you do need to have a server. The thing that I was questioning was when you said you could add Tidal into Plex and not have a server, in which case you're firing up Plex just to use Tidal, and by not having your own music library in there, it doesn't seem like you're really getting any benefits by using Plex to access Tidal.
So this is a tenuous time to have that discussion, right? Because Plex is in the process of changing a lot of the services that they offer right now.
Mm-hmm.
They used to offer cloud DVR service. They used to offer channels that they're going to pretty much start ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of stuff that you could get without actually having a server in place.
They do have news still.
Okay, good, good. I keep forgetting about that because I turn it off.
And web videos.
And they have podcasts, right, which I would argue is still terrible, but they have it, right? So there are these different types of media that you can get through Plex without having a server. Anyway, frankly, I don't really think that's the real benefit of this. I think the benefit of this is the same way that I enjoyed Spotify initially, which is that if you already have a music library, and I mean, I don't mean to call out Spotify because Apple Music does this too, then their service is going to be able to augment what you already have. The recommendations that you get for music are going to be based on content that you already have in your library, stuff that you already own. Don't have the whole album, only bought a particular single from the album. You can play the whole album. It doesn't matter because it's available through Tidal. And Tidal has millions and millions and millions of songs, just like every other one of these available services. The difference with Tidal, and here's where it gets down to like stuff that you have to ask yourself if you care about.
Mm-hmm.
The difference with Tidal in particular is that they have an option that allows you to get high fidelity, lossless content. You're going to pay more for it. You're going to pay double for it, frankly.
Right.
And Tidal is built not by the industry, but by artists. Tidal is owned by a collective of artists that decided that they were tired of the industry taking all their money.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's something that you care about, then Tidal might be a good solution for you. I am not at all interested in this. And here's why. Tidal is on nearly every platform out there, except for Google Home and Amazon Echo.
How do you have a music service and expect it to do well in almost 2019 and not be on the two dominant voice assistant speaker devices?
Right. And you have to ask yourself, you know, is that important? Like, do I care about that? Couldn't I play it through my Sonos? Yes. Could I play it through my computer? Yes. Could I play it through my device? Yes. They're on nearly every device. They have apps for all the different platforms, but they're not on the two biggest speaker devices that are available today. And that's not surprising because their whole thing is quality audio, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real gray area for me. I think that this is an interesting partnership. I think that it is something that could be really useful if you don't already subscribe to a music service. And if you don't, and you have Plex Pass, you can get a special discounted rate. I mean, it's not that special. It's $1 off. But you can get a discounted rate on their monthly subscription price through Plex, which is nice, right?
Yeah.
But
it's not nothing.
If you already have a music service, I don't see what the draw is for this. And so for me, it's not interesting because I'm already using Amazon Music for $7.99 a month. This would be $8.99, even with the Plex discount. And I wouldn't be able to control it. It's not even that I couldn't play it on my Amazon Echo. I wouldn't be able to control it through my Amazon Echo to play it on my Sonos devices.
Right, right.
And help me end this on a happier note, Josh. You can't?
Well, I frankly think all of the good news you started with, all of the best part of this is the integration with your local music library. That's what I think makes the most sense about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, station recommendations are going to be based on content you already have. Playlists and other things like that are going to be built off of stuff that is both in the library and in the cloud. So lots of good stuff there. But again, it's stuff we've seen before, right? It's what you can get in Spotify. It's what you can get in Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I don't mean to make it seem disappointing. It's just not for me.
Yeah, exactly. It's not for everybody. Everybody's got their own particular music service of choice. And for some of them, Tidal's going to make a lot of sense. And having this integration with Plex is going to be awesome for those people who want a nice combination of a big, maybe eclectic audio collection that they already have of their own mixed with what's available online, especially if you're really into that lossless audio streaming that only Tidal does.
Right. Absolutely. Josh, we weren't going to talk about these things in this order, but I feel like it almost makes sense to jump into the Spotify story now.
Yeah, I agree, because Spotify is doing a very similar thing on Android. So on Android, Spotify is testing. This is not available to everybody right now. This is basically leaked on Twitter from a tester that they're giving some people the ability to import their music library from their Android phone into the Spotify app on their phone. So it's the same sort of thing. It'll look at the music that you have on your phone already, use that when recommending playlist and artist radio stuff, and giving you some enhancements for listening to your favorite artist and stuff like that. It's all the exact same sort of integration, and it's sounds exactly like what Spotify used to do, or maybe still does, but I've never used this functionality on the desktop. I wonder how much use this would actually get on phones. I don't know how many people are still putting their music libraries on their phones, but enough people must be doing it that Spotify thought this was worth working on. So that is coming. And they're also testing some enhancements to how podcasts work in Spotify, the ability to save them for later, which would be useful, you know, when you're traveling on planes and things like that. Although I got to wonder, who's using Spotify for podcasts? Do you know anybody who's using Spotify for podcasts?
You know, it's funny you say that. As you're saying that, I'm thinking we should probably publish our shows on Spotify. We don't. We could. We don't.
We could. I don't know how many would actually use it. I do know one person who uses Spotify for podcasts. My 10-year-old. I don't know why. I think it's just because it's the only music app she knows about. And so she saw a podcast. And so now she listens to Stuff You Should Know in Spotify on her crappy little Android phone.
So that alone is actually, I think, really good demographic data, right? Like the fact that here's somebody who has a device that gets content that previously used it only for music and now has been exposed to podcasts and might not otherwise have been, despite the fact that her father's a podcaster, but that's a different issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great point. And Spotify does do a pretty good job of making podcasts pretty easy to find. I don't know. There's better ways to listen to podcasts, I think.
I'll tell you why I have not been interested in it is that my exposure, no, that's the wrong word. Like the first knowledge that I had and first understanding that I had of how Spotify was rolling out podcasts, once they got past their ridiculously closed and secretive beta, was their premium podcast offering, where you have the ability to pay for podcasts. And I have no interest in doing that.
No.
Ever. No. I will contribute to somebody's Patreon.
Right.
I will buy from somebody's advertisers. I will not pay for a subscription for a podcast.
Nope. Especially not through a third party.
Right.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that looks like some of those features may be coming soon to Android. If you're on iOS, that local music integration, that's probably not going to happen. But some of those other things, if they do make it to the final released version, yeah, you'll probably see some of that stuff, like the podcast improvements and things like that on multiple platforms, not just Android.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm continuing to move stuff around in our lineup. The next thing that I think we should talk about is Amazon Music coming to your TV device.
Yeah, we're going to stick with Android here. This time, Android TV. Amazon Music, it's not even supposedly. A registration page is available inside the Google Play Store for you to get a special version of Amazon Music for TV interfaces coming to Android TV devices. This is important because, well, frankly, I've talked about this a lot. The best speakers in my house are connected to my TV. So if I really want to listen to music at home, that's how I'm doing it. So if you're an Amazon Music subscriber, which you may not even realize you are, because, right? Because if you have Amazon Prime, you're an Amazon Music subscriber.
Right.
Now, it's not the same library as if you were paying extra for it through Amazon Music Unlimited. That's the one that's more like Spotify or Apple Music or things like that, or Tidal. But both services will be available through this app on Android TV devices. You're not going to have to just Chromecast and things like that anymore. And this is kind of important because of the feuds that we have seen between Google, the makers of Android, and Amazon. You know, right. They had pulled YouTube apps from Amazon devices, and Amazon stopped selling Google devices.
I mean, you still can't get YouTube on some Amazon devices.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So they're starting to work this out. It's not fully worked out. You can't get Amazon Prime Video on regular Android TV devices, but you can on the NVIDIA Shield, which probably has more to say about NVIDIA trying to get that relationship set up. And that's going to be an even bigger deal as Android TV does start to become more popular. It's not, or at least more likely to be used by people, because we're starting to hear of other players in the streaming video space, like DirecTV, producing their own boxes. And these guys aren't just going to make their own operating system for these things. They're going to build it on pre-existing things like Android TV. It just makes sense for them to do that. So yep. Getting all of Amazon's media services on there would be beneficial, but I don't know. We'll see. Amazon really, really wants you to just buy a Fire TV device instead.
And that apparently has gone very well for them, because that was their top selling Amazon product for the year 2018.
It wasn't the Echo Dot?
Nope.
Wow.
Right. Wow. Right. Fire TV was their best selling product, their best selling Amazon hardware product.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy. Yeah, I will tell you, I mean, having used the Amazon Music app on TV platforms, both the Fire TV and the Xbox, I like it. I like it a lot. I think it's really good. So I'm glad that it's going to be available on more devices. And I think people who use Amazon Music, or who have Amazon Music, and like you said, didn't necessarily realize that they did, we'll get a lot of benefit out of this.
Yep.
All right. Well, one more music service story, and that is about Apple Music. Brace yourself. This isn't news by now, because this has already been out, but Apple Music is coming to your Echo devices. Apple Music.
Yeah.
On an Amazon device. That's crazy.
Well, Apple Music on any device that isn't an Apple.
Well, right? That's not entirely true, right? Because you as an Android phone owner, you could have and use Apple Music on your device if you wanted to.
Right.
It's not iTunes, but it's their Apple Music service. You're not going to be buying music files from them. You're going to be streaming through your phone and using their service. And they have that available on the web as well. So you can use it on various desktop platforms. Mm-hmm. But to put this on something like a competitor speaker, that's awesome. That is really awesome. I think this is probably bigger on Amazon's part than it is on Apple's part, because Apple and Amazon, frankly, both play nasty, right? They both hold their ecosystems tight, and they don't like to share. And the fact that Amazon is allowing Apple Music to be there, I think is great. And the fact that Apple is doing it is also great. You put something in here. By the way, this is something that's going to happen within like a couple weeks. We're going to see this month.
Yeah, December 17th.
Right. You put something in our notes that I thought was very interesting. And that was just kind of a reminder that, by the way, you can't play Amazon Music on a HomePod.
Right. This is not a reciprocal relationship.
Right. And honestly, I don't think it ever will be. I don't think you're ever going to be able to play any music service but Apple's on the HomePod. That is how Apple rolls. And that is why I will never buy a HomePod.
Yeah, right. Like you could if you were willing to deal with AirPlay, right? But that's annoying.
Well, sure. But that's like saying, oh, but you could Chromecast to anything. Or you could use a Bluetooth speaker for that matter.
Yeah. Most Bluetooth speakers aren't going to sound as nice as a HomePod, but yeah.
So anyway, I think this is cool. This is a good thing. This is a big move. We'll have to see where this goes. But I'm really happy that they're doing this. All right. Well, our final audio story is a little bit of an unusual one. It's a review about a speaker. And this is something that I posted to our site earlier this week. I have been using and testing the Lithonia ST6 downlight speaker. It is a wired Bluetooth speaker light combo. And by wired, if you look at the label of this thing, it says wireless. By wired, I mean that this is actually wired into your electric. So we have looked at a lot of Bluetooth speaker combos in the past. Usually they look like a light bulb with a speaker in it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're a speaker that's ceiling mounted that also has a light in it. But in almost all cases, it requires a proprietary app to be able to control the light, because the light is also Bluetooth controlled as well as the speaker. And I have never been interested in anything like that because, frankly, I think it's stupid. Why should I have to take my app out to control a light? I have a wall switch. Guess what? Lithonia figured that out. So here's the thing that I think is brilliant about this. This is intended to fit in an existing or new can in your ceiling. So anything that you have for a ceiling light, and it's designed to use a socket converter. So if you have a ceiling can where you might have a BR30 or some other downlight, you can potentially convert that to something that uses instead this speaker that also has a light built into it. And the beauty is that the light works on the regular old wiring that you already have for that light fixture. And most people, when they have ceiling cans, have them wired to some sort of dimmer. Well, maybe not most, but some. Some people have them wired to a dimmer. Well, okay, but you have a Bluetooth speaker. How are you going to dim that? That's going to mess it up, right? That's not going to work. They thought about that. And here's the thing that makes this product just, in my opinion, brilliant. The speaker is powered by a battery that is charged when you have your light on. And it doesn't matter what the dim level of your light is. So you can charge pretty much anything with 12 volts, right? Think about what your normal charger is for your phone or for your Bluetooth speaker. It's probably somewhere between 5 and 20 volts.
Mm-hmm. And one amp.
And an amp. Right. Exactly. So what Lithonia has done is they have built a device that includes a battery operated speaker and a powered wired light that when the light is on, you're also charging the battery for the speaker. It's so smart. It's absolutely brilliant.
So Paul's asking, can you listen to music and shower in the dark?
Yes, you absolutely can.
But I wouldn't recommend it. That seems like a really good way to hurt yourself.
I don't get that. I know people that shower in the dark. I don't understand that. But yes, you absolutely can.
Yeah, Paul is suggesting in the chat because you would play Marco Polo in the shower. with the speaker. That's I don't want to think about. I don't know how that works. I don't think I want to know how that works, but enjoy yourself.
So if you've had your light on for a little bit, then it has charged your speaker. You can charge the speaker for up to 6 hours with 4 hours of light time. So, you know, do the math. All it really means is you don't have to have the light on as much as you have this, as much as you use the speaker.
Right. Right. And how does it sound?
It sounds like a shower speaker. So okay. I think this is a perfect device for the shower or the bathroom. I would not put this in my house.
Like in your living room or something.
Right. So remember when we were at CES and last year we were all excited about OneLink coming out with this home smart fire alarm that was also going to have the different digital assistants built in. And they have one for each of the digital assistants. And it's a great idea. But they also decided for some reason that they were going to bundle a 10-watt speaker into it and promote it as your primary way of listening to music in some room. That's crap.
Yes. They use the word premium speaker.
Right. Premium 10-watt speaker. No. There's no such thing as a premium 10-watt speaker. I'm sorry. I don't care if it is from, you know, Levinson or whatever brand name associated with your speaker. 10 watts, right? This is a 5-watt speaker, which is about what you might probably have from any other shower Bluetooth speaker. Mm-hmm. So it's perfect for a bathroom or a shower. I would not put this in your family room.
Right.
But seriously, perfect. Perfect for a shower. And it comes with 3 different color temperatures. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you should be listening to Home On. But basically, do you want your light to be more yellow or more blue? And it has 3 different variants. And you can decide which one you want based on what kind of lighting you have in your room. In bathrooms, it's usually going to be a combination of either 2700 or 3000. So, you know, this is a product that I generally would stay away from because I think these things are gimmicky, but I think this company, Lithonia, has done it really right. Now, Lithonia is a brand under a larger lighting conglomerate, if you will, that has tons of different brands that they support. And most of their brands are used in hotels and commercial properties and stuff like that. But this is one of their residential offerings. And the fact that they have as big a following and market as they do in commercial, I think is encouraging. I think it means that they're doing lighting right. I love a lot of the lighting that I see. This is a random thing, but if you happen to stay at Residence Inns and they've been newly renovated, they use Lithonia lighting in the bathrooms. It is fantastic lighting for a wet space. And that's one of the things that I like about the speaker is it's designed for a wet space. So I've gone on and on about it. I'm not going to rave too much more. I do want to tell you, you know, one of the things that I loved about this, and I mentioned this earlier, is that you don't need an app for it. You turn it on with a switch and you turn it off the switch. It may be a dimmer. It's dimming the light. That battery is what powers the speaker. So it's largely independent. I say largely independent because it does one thing really, really well. If your light is off and it's been off for a while and you haven't been connected to the speaker with your phone for a while and you turn the light on, it is going to automatically connect to your paired device.
Nice.
So if you have your phone and that's what you use when you're connecting with this, then automatically by turning on the light, it's going to pair with it. And if it's already playing, it's going to transfer the audio over to it. If it isn't playing, then obviously you need to start it. It's not going to start itself. I think this is a great product. I think it's something that you should look into if you're looking for a good bathroom or shower audio solution. It runs between $75 and $82. That may sound like a lot, but think about what you're getting. You're getting a ceiling conversion kit light, and you're getting a built-in speaker. So the combination of those two things, if you were to buy them independently, kind of would probably add up to that.
Yeah, probably. Cool.
All right. That is it for our audio. We mentioned that we don't have any video, but we do have some gaming news. So Josh, take it away.
And this week, the gaming news is all about Sea of Thieves. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
No, Paul. It's so not. That was so mean.
It's not at all about Sea of Thieves. Sorry, Paul. No, instead, we've got an interesting little story. I don't think I mentioned this on one of the recent episodes, that the Steam Link seemed to be going out of production and was discounted ridiculously low from Steam themselves. I think you could get it for less than $3. What is the Steam Link? Well, it was a little hardware streaming box that you could connect to your TV and then stream PC games from your powerful gaming computer to your TV and hook Bluetooth gaming controllers up to the Steam Link so that you can stream your PC games to your big TV. It's a great idea, but it must not have done all that well for Valve, or else they would have kept selling it, I think. But good enough that they did, just within the last couple of months, release a Steam Link app on Android and iOS, but I think that one still got some issues and they might not have actually, Apple initially didn't allow it onto the store. I don't know if that problem has been rectified yet, but it is available on Android. You could run the Steam Link app on an Android TV device and get the same sort of functionality. But maybe you don't have an Android TV device either, but you still really like the idea of streaming from your gaming PC to your TV. Well, here's a cheap option. You got a Raspberry Pi laying around. As long as it's a Raspberry Pi 3 or 3B+, you can now get the Steam Link app running on your Raspberry Pi, which already has network connections and HDMI and Bluetooth. So you can connect your controllers and stuff to a Raspberry Pi, plug it into your TV, get this app running on it, and bam, you're streaming your games from your gaming PC to your TV using the Steam interface. So it's a pretty nice little setup. I suppose I could try this out. I've got a Raspberry Pi, but I can already run the Steam Link app on my NVIDIA Shield TV. So not a whole lot of reason for me to do this. But if you've got a Steam, or if you wanted a Steam Link and you've got a Raspberry Pi, this is a great way to get that going. That's it for the main normal gaming news. But we've also, since it's a new month, we have new free games on both Xbox and PlayStation. So this month, the Xbox Live Games with Gold, your carryover until December 15th is Race the Sun. But starting this month and all month long is Cube 2. This is a first-person puzzle game. My co-host on Story Players, Joe, was just describing this to me this morning as if you were playing Portal but didn't have a gun that shot portals. That's what Cube 2 is. That doesn't sound fun at all to me. The portals is what made Portal fun, but he actually really liked this game and completed it this weekend. So
it's funny that you say that, because reading the description about this, that's kind of what I thought of. I thought of Portal.
Right. So that's Cube 2. And then your 360 game for the first half of the month is Dragon Age 2, classic BioWare fantasy role-playing game. You're not going to want to miss that if you're into those types of games and haven't already played Dragon Age. Your other Xbox One game for December 16th through January 15th is Never Alone. This is more of an indie story kind of game. And then your other 360 game for the second half of the month is Mercenaries Playground of Destruction. Frankly, that sounds like a heavy metal band to me. But yeah, it's a first-person shooter, as most Xbox 360 games were. PlayStation also has their new games up across all of their platforms. We only talk about the ones that matter. That would be PlayStation 4. You're getting Soma. This is a horror game that's basically been free. Practically every place that gives out free games has given out Soma over the last few months. The more interesting one is Onrush. This is a relatively recent arcade racer game that looks like a lot of fun. Both of those are PS4 games. And then another one that you can play on PS4 via cross-buy is a Vita game called Iconoclast. This is an indie game made by a single developer. It's a 2D side-scroller action-adventure sort of game. Kind of looks like Mega Man kind of game, but it's free. So again, check them out. These are all free. Those Xbox games, if you want the 360 games, they're backwards compatible and can be played on your Xbox One also. So that's it. Our gaming news, nice and short. I told you it would be short this week, Richard.
Yeah. It gave me enough time to go get a beer.
Well, that's pretty important.
All right, and that is it for our news. So let's jump into what's going on in our entertainment centers. Now, previously, I talked about the fact that I was using the new Kavo control device, and I'm pretty much trying to use that as my master controller for my home. I mentioned, I think, in the last episode that we recorded that I tried to use this with their suggestion of pairing it so that it would also work with my Harmony smart control, but it doesn't really work the way I had hoped it would. So anyway, I ended up on the phone with one of their co-founders who helped me work through some of the issues that I had. And I almost say this like embarrassed or a little bit sheepish about it, because I feel like we have unfair access because they know that we're reviewing this thing.
Right.
This is not something that anyone else who's having problems with this might experience. But he was able to help me resolve some of the problems that I had. And they're actually buying the receiver that I have so that they can troubleshoot a problem that I've experienced that they haven't seen before with some HDMI CEC switching.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're taking this seriously, right? That's really good news that they want to make sure that this is working properly for their customers. So I turned off some of the CEC stuff so that it won't inadvertently switch me to the wrong source or some of the other problems that I was having. And that has helped a lot. In the meantime, they're going to be trying to research what's going on there, and I will continue to use it for a while. And the biggest problem for me right now just has to do with the fact that those volume and channel buttons aren't where I expect them to be every time I pick up the remote.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'll follow up on that in the coming weeks. As for what I've been watching on TV, the usual stuff, This Is Us and New Amsterdam. I'm a little bit behind on those because of travel. I think I don't think I've caught up from them from when I was in Eastern Europe. And also, I am caught up on The Conners, on Modern Family. I have been watching Mars episodes as soon as they come out. Wow, I love that series. Unfortunately, this season is also only 6 episodes, but this is that combo documentary fiction thing where they interview real life physicists and scientists and business people who are interested in what it would take to go to Mars and document stuff that's happened here on Earth and compare it to how that might actually compare, or that might actually happen if we were on Mars through a dramatized story. And I love it. I think it's just fantastic. They had a recent episode where they had a pathogen that they encountered, and it was largely because of, it was largely uncovered because of activists that were trying to thwart the efforts of opportunist companies that were making money on the planet. It was really a really, really cool spin on things. Hmm. I have also been watching Doctor Who and enjoying that. The new season is great. I love the new Doctor. One of the things that I had tried to watch and didn't get through a couple months ago was the Howard's End miniseries on Stars. It is a 4-episode retelling of the, I forget the author's name, but the company that puts the movies out by them is Merchant Ivory. And it was a really good story. Probably one of the things that you ended up having to read in English or in high school or something like that. And it was good. It starred Hayley Atwell, the woman that you probably know from Marvel series Agent Carter, or she was the love interest for Stephen, what's his name, the guy who's Captain America. So I liked it, but what really happened is it made me want to watch the original Howard's End movie again, which is an Academy Award winning film with now named Dame, and I forget her name already. I can't believe I'm forgetting this. This is killing me. I will think of it in the future, which is too late. But anyway, amazing, famous English actress who played the lead role in this. And she played opposite someone who I also can't remember his name. Wow, I'm really not prepared for this. But anyway, great Merchant Ivory movie. It is wonderful, and it made me appreciate the movie even better. So if you haven't ever seen Howard's End, you should watch it. It's really good. All right. I got back to the series Deadwood. I'm really slow to keep up with this. This is like one of the things I watch like one a month. I don't know why, but it's interesting. It's just not interesting enough that I definitely want to get back to it. On the other hand, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix, which I was very excited about when they announced it, Edward and I finished it. We're done. Its first season is out and done. They're coming out with a special. I don't think we could call it a Christmas special since it's about witches and devil worship, but right. It is coming out around Christmas time. And then the new season will start again sometime next year. So I have been watching that and finished it, and I really, really liked that. That was fantastic. And I think the actress that they had playing Sabrina was just so good. And I've been watching a couple of episodes of The Good Place. I try to watch a few of those, like when I'm watching or when I'm eating lunch or something like that. So I like it. I still don't understand why everybody loves it as much as I do, but I like it. And we got good news today, the day we're recording.
Yep. Getting renewed. That's not really a surprise. It's one of their, I think it's one of their highest rating shows.
Yeah, very likely. So there will be a fourth season. No surprise on that. I watched the movie Downsizing. That's a Matt Damon comedy thing. It tries to be a little bit more lofty than it probably should. It's about how we are over-consuming our Earth, and the solution is for everybody to become smaller, and the technology exists to make us. So,
oh, that one. Yeah, that looked so dumb.
It was fun and interesting, and it had one of those endings where you're like, wait, it's over? Huh? That's seriously, that's how it's ending? Come on.
Huh.
So, yeah, I was disappointed. I wanted it to be better. It was all right. I mean, you know, watch it on cable. While I've been listening to the hell out of the Star is Born soundtrack, because, wow, that is good, I decided that I am going to prepare myself for the availability of the new A Star is Born movie on disc when it comes out by watching all of the prior versions of the movie. So it's the first one from 1937. It was black and white.
Wow.
You can't watch it in black and white anymore. It's colorized. Hate that. Tried to watch in black and white. Looked terrible. But it is available to watch from Amazon Prime. If you're interested in that, yeah. I mean, you know, it's the first version. It's a 1937 movie. It has all of the expected sexist memes and everything else. And the next one, I think, is 1957 or something like that. A little bit more recent. So I'll be watching that next, but it's 3 hours long.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I have to rent that one. So I don't know, over a weekend or something. Anyway, that is it. That's what I've been watching. That's what's going on in my entertainment center. Josh, how about you?
Well, it's been a little bit different for me. Didn't watch a whole lot of hockey over the last week, but
wait, what?
I know it was a weird week. Okay. Really weird week. Did watch some college football on Saturday. Was very, very happy with how that SEC championship game worked out. I'm a big Alabama fan, so happy about that. And in terms of games that I've been playing, you would expect me to say lots of NHL, maybe some Call of Duty, some of that stuff. Nope, none of that. Instead, I've been looking at all these game sales. This is inspired by all of the game sales, because every time these big holiday sales or Steam sales or whatever come around, I go through my wish list and I'm like, oh, I should buy this and I should buy that and I should buy this. I've been wanting to play these. And frequently they're like huge, massive role-playing games, you know, Final Fantasy games, stuff like that. And this time I actually talked some sense into myself and said, you could buy these games, could spend some money on these games, or you could actually go back and play a game you already own that you always wanted to finish and never did. And that game is Lost Odyssey. And so I did just that. It is a Japanese role-playing game from Mistwalker. They're not even making console games anymore. There was an Xbox 360 exclusive, which is super weird. Like, the Xbox has never done well in Japan, but this game was amazing. Really, really good. Especially as a traditional Japanese role-playing game. Absolutely loved it. It's huge, though. Like, this is a 50 to 60 hour game. Hmm. And I decided, you know, I'm sick of waiting. I'm just going to play it, see if I still like it, because it's been 8 years, 9 years.
Holy crap.
Since I've played it. So, I mean, I haven't even really played a game like this in probably since this one. You know, we're talking random battles, all that sort of stuff. A very traditional Japanese role-playing game here. And I am loving it every bit as much as I did the first time playing it. So in the last week and a half or so, I've gotten about 15 hours into the game. Back when this released physically on Xbox 360, this game had four discs. Four. So I've completed the first disc. Now, fortunately, it's all digital. I don't have to actually swap disc and stuff, but it still has the prompts for it. And I'm through the first disc about 15 hours in. So yeah, I am still really, really loving this game. And it was free around this time last year, I think. So hopefully you all that are listening to this picked it up about a year ago and thought, well, it's free. Maybe I'll try this someday. Try it. It is so good. So good. Yeah, try it. That's what I've been playing. And that's what I've been watching. Wasn't watching The Good Place because there wasn't an episode on Thanksgiving or last week. So,
oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's back this week, though.
Cool.
Yep. All right. One quick announcement. We don't have announcements like this all that often, but you and I, we got something to give away. In fact, we got two somethings to give away, and they fit in real well with what we talk about on this show and, frankly, what you talk about on your other show. Google Home Minis. We got speakers, smart speakers that play music pretty well, and we're going to give them away for free on our website. That's if you're listening live, Paul, the contest page is not up just yet. But by the time you're listening to this episode, it'll be there. Head on over to the Digital Media Zone. We'll be tweeting about this. It should be pretty obvious where the contest page is by the time you're listening to this. Yeah, so an opportunity to win two, not one, but two Google Home Minis.
Yeah, and to be clear, it's not like two people win a Google Home Mini. This is a bundle. If you win, you get two of them.
Right, exactly. So look for that soon. That'll be going for, I don't know, a couple of weeks. So we'll be mentioning it again next week, I'm sure. But Richard, that's it. So that's our announcements. If people want to get a hold of us, they can find us on Twitter, at Richard Gunther, at Josh Bollard, at Digimedia Zone. We're on Facebook. We're all over the place. We've got email addresses. All of that stuff is in the show notes over at thedigitalmediazone.com. And anything going on with Home On you want to mention?
Yeah, so it's the end of the year. So we have our fireside chat coming up. We are going to be doing our usual roundtable end of year discussion with the folks from Home Tech FM, with Mike Wolf. And this year, we are really excited to include Rose Thibodeau.
Ooh, nice.
Yep. So that should be a good discussion. We are planning on doing that in a week from now. We'll be recording that. So that should be out soon. And then also coming up at the end of the year, or more likely the beginning of next year, as most of you know, if you're Home On listeners, we typically invite someone from CNET to kind of take a look back at the last year and look ahead at the coming year and evaluate how things are going from a CES perspective. Did we get the things we expected, and what do we think is coming next year? And this year, we have Andrew Gephardt, who is one of the smart home correspondents at CNET, joining us. So I'm very excited to be recording with him, and that should be out, I am expecting, roughly around New Year's weekend.
Perfect. All right, well, we do this show live. Paul knows that. He's here. He's here most weeks. Apparently, you all don't know that because you're not here. Hopefully, you'll be here next week. We normally do this Tuesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. It's a lot of fun. There's video, there's audio, there's a live chat room. You get to be part of the show if you show up. Look for the tweets to know exactly when it's going to happen, or just constantly refresh the digitalmediazone.com and go to the live page, because that's
Seriously, what else do you have to do, right?
Right. You're done with your Christmas shopping at this point because you bought it all on Amazon. So it's at your house. Refresh the webpage. Look for some new stuff. Join the live show. It'll be great. I promise. That's going to do it for episode 469. He's Richard Gunther and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.